Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome everyone to Group Answers. My name is Chris Surratt, alongside Mr. Brian Daniel.
Hello, Chris.
And Mr. Brandon Hiltabuttle.
What episode is this? Just kidding.
I don't even know. We've lost count.
We don't count them anymore.
You know what? We are approaching.
Doesn't mean we're not having just as much fun. We're just not. It's just that doesn't matter.
We are approaching number 100. 100 episodes.
That's all people need to know.
Now, yeah. You have been a part, Brian. You've been a part of all of this.
Every one of them.
I've only been a part of about 50-ish, 60, somewhere in that range. But that's amazing.
I'm trying to think of a Woody Allen, Mia Farrow, Diane Keaton comparison, but I think I'm just going to let that go.
So do you feel like this is a better podcast at almost episode 100 than it was at episode? I was the guest on number one. So I will say. I had some skin in this game.
The answer is yes, I do believe it's better.
Hope you get better, right?
That seems like the best answer.
We've definitely upped the ante.
Not only
when
is
it
the best
guests.
Answer, but it's the right answer.
When I was the number one guest, and since then we've had Trulia Newbell, J.D. Greer, Tony Evans. We've upped the ante just a little. Brandon Hiltabottle.
Oh yeah,
Scarlett Hiltabottle.
How?
Oh
in
my
the
goodness!
World?
How can we forget
how did
that?
You get us?
Robbie Gowdy,
how did you do
Tony
it?
Marita. Yeah, there's been.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been a fun
Steve
ride.
Steve Gladen.
Steve
Gladen,
yeah. We're going to celebrate number 100 with some cake. We're going to bring in cake for everyone.
Thank God.
So just be prepared. Be prepared.
For an
it's
audio
gonna be
show.
Huge.
Cookie cake.
Yep. In the break room, there'll be cake. All right. So we are going to do another episode. This is one of our favorite type of episodes. Brandon Hiltabottle is the mastermind behind this. Actually, probably Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Do you think he came up with this?
Force rank.
Power rank.
Power rank.
Goodness gracious.
Gosh.
Start over.
It hasn't improved. It hasn't improved. We're worse. No, I think Bill Simmons in The Ringer, right?
It's yes. Kind of they'll power rank just about anything, and we've proven here on this podcast we will as well.
Let's go off just a little bit. Who's your power rank number one NBA team right at this moment?
Really?
Well, considering Klay Thompson hit 10 straight threes last night as the time we are recording
this. Or 2 weeks ago,
this.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah. At the moment of this recording.
Is Cousins back with him yet?
Yeah. That was sick.
How did Cousins has played. He's looking pretty nice. I'm not a Warriors fan, but they're fun to watch.
10 threes in a row. Yeah, that's sick.
Sorry, audience.
Did you know he now owns the record for the most threes in a game, the most consecutive threes to start a game, and the most points in one quarter? Klay Thompson. Sick.
I thought that was James Harden. James Harden just has the most shots.
Probably, yeah. No, that's my team, the Houston Rockets.
And most steps.
So
most
careful.
Steps prior to each shot.
He has. I think he's close to the record of the most consecutive 30-point games. He may have that at this point.
Okay.
He almost scored 53 games in a row, which Kobe Bryant was the last one. All right, we digress. Okay, so we are doing power rankings, and this time we are going to power rank small group leader roles. So if you're a small group leader and you listen, which I hope you do because it's called Group Answers, so I hope you are a small group leader, even if you're a small group pastor or whatever, hopefully you're leading a small group or two. Each small group leader has roles. You're doing several things. Hopefully you're, as your group grows and all of that, you are handing off some of these roles. But especially when you're starting out, you're probably doing like 6, 7, 8 different things as a small group leader. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation around what we think are the top 5 roles for a small group leader. So I kind of look at this as the top, you know, if you've got 10 and we've got a lot of things listed as possibilities, you probably number 10, you should give away right away. 9 should be next, 8, you know, all the way up to number 1 is, you know, you should be giving those things away to your group. Number 1 may be the one that you're always going to hold on to, or that's your main function as a leader, but, you know, you should start letting people own those roles. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I would say everything, any role that you hear the next few minutes, you should try to ensure somebody's doing it that may be the first step, because like I'm looking on the list and and something that I've force ranked at number five power ranked. We don't have that role specifically covered in my group right now, and you can tell. So I think anything you hear, you should ensure somebody should be covering every role, and that someone should not be you. You should not be doing all 8, 9, 10 things that you hear.
That's a good word. That's a good word. All right, so we're going to go around, and let's start with Brian Daniel. Brian, what did you have as the fifth most important power-ranked small group leader role?
This is the problem I have with this whole exercise.
Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
Is that you have to put something at number five or whatever number it is that
is
if
the
you
point.
Put it there, it it could possibly be seen as unimportant.
No.
I just don't.
Are you saying I did a bad job of
setting
this up?
It's just this is what makes it hard all for right. me because – when you put them in order, because all these things are important. So with that caveat, with that caveat,
hit it again.
With that caveat, I would say my number five is prayer time.
Ooh.
To help your heart, I didn't even put it in my top five.
Okay. I didn't either.
All right.
And here's why. I think prayer time, absolutely, the role of prayer time leader is how I was thinking of it. Like if it's the role of a in a group, that can fall to just about anybody. So,
but I do think it can be tricky. We've talked about it on here that prayer times can be a place for gossip, can be a place for that Debbie Downer who always takes over the conversation in kind of it's woe is me. So transitioning through the prayer time and kind of helping the group get to where you need to go, it can be tricky. So I see that as an important role.
Yeah. So basically, prayer is very important in group life, and the role of prayer leader is important in group life. But there are other things that I would feel are more important. Which it sounds like we all agree. It's just a matter of where that goes.
All of these are on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to be covered. What'd you have, Brandon?
So I had mission planner at number five. That is not a role that I'm going to take on as a group leader. To the degree that this is where I would confess, we don't have this role covered specifically within our group. So our church provides missional opportunities twice a year, and those are the two times a year so far that my group has gone out and done mission together. So the fact that I and the other people that I lead my group with don't have this specifically handed to someone shows in how infrequently we're actually getting the job done there. Mm.
See, that was number six for me. If I was to go 10, it was number six. I think it's important, and it could be anywhere on the list. But
as long as somebody's covering it, which I'm not doing right now.
Yep. But find somebody to cover it. My number five was planning the fun activities. And I put that on the list because I think sometimes as small group leaders, we forget the fun. That, it's about the study, it's about the prayer time, which all of those are important. But if the group is not fun, you're going to have a hard time getting people coming back to your group. So coming up with, whether it's, once every 6 weeks, once a semester, hopefully more than, once or twice a year, just dropping the study, getting out of the house, going to a ball game, doing a picnic, kayaking down the river, bullfighting, whatever you like to do that's fun in your, not bullfighting, but whatever you like to do. You can see all the animal activists right now, emails.
Animal evangelism activists, you ranked that above the mission planner.
Not meant that way, but have fun. You need to have fun in your group. So that was my number five. All right, number four, let's go back to BD. What'd you have?
Host. I had that as number four.
That's what I didn't. Sorry. It's number three for me.
Yeah, so you had it pretty high as well. I just think that the idea of hospitality is very important. And I did not rank plan fun activities because I just see the host as kind of the same way that you do. You've got to be able to have an open door that feels inviting and welcome and be able to have that atmosphere. I think at some level what you just talked about and how I'm seeing hosts is just semantics, even though they're quite a bit different. We do some outside of group fun things, like we went to see recently the Fathom event. It was the classic movie Casablanca, which was playing in theater, so we all went to see that, and that was really cool to see that on the big screen. But host is every week. Our group meets every week, and I think that's I think if you're not doing that well, you can teach well, you can do all the other things well, you can facilitate well, and it just doesn't matter because people have to – you've got to have that atmosphere. Yeah. So now I'm wondering if I shouldn't have put it higher.
I just was thinking the same thing as I hear you talk. I've got it at four also.
Yeah.
But it's such a tone setter. I mean, the hosts of my small group are just amazing. Beautiful house. They're so sweet to all of us. And one of the things we had on the list as an option is food provider. I didn't rank that. I don't think that
they actually ranked that as number four.
So I don't even necessarily know that a group needs food, but they, as a part of their hosting, they got snacks for us every time. But mostly they just do an awesome job of making the time when we get together feel anchored. Like you feel like somebody's owning that experience where we're meeting. So
that's such a good point. I think host supersedes food. Like Chris has said, I think food, most groups have some kind of food and we'll put some cheese and crackers out and some things like that. But if you're doing hosting well, I don't know that you really need food.
Yeah. Chris, make the case for food.
I'll do that in a second. But I did put host as number three because I think setting that atmosphere, that smiling person at the door, you know, welcoming people, feeling like, you know, it's almost like cheers, everybody knows your name. That's a gift. And being able to do that right kind of sets the tone for your group. It allows people to relax, to build community. So I think it's an important facet of a group leader's role. Even if it's not natural, it's not really natural to me, honestly. But I do it because I think it's important and it's something I have to think about, but I do think it's important. I did put food as number four because I think, and it's more of a broader thing, not just food, but I think you need an element in your group where people are relaxed, hanging out, because some of the best conversations in my group happen over the food time. And when I say food, our group is snacks. So we meet late. It's mostly younger professional singles. They've already eaten. They're coming late from work. So we're not providing like a three-course menu. It's, you know, some snacks and some Cokes and LaCroix. And, you know, that's our food time. But it's more of that element of creating 15, 20 minutes of we're just going to hang out. We're going to talk. We're going to shoot the breeze before we get into the study. So that's why I put that role as number four. Yeah. If you've heard of Alpha, you guys heard of the Alpha program, the P in Alpha stands for, at least originally, stands for pasta, because they felt like that was an important piece of growing community.
That's very specific of them.
I know. You guys, it's English, you know. It's
carbs.
So Brandon, do you guys do a meal?
It's like chips and salsa, or just it's snacks every time. Yeah. Sometimes it's pie, whatever it is.
But there's a lot of groups that do a meal every time.
We used to, yeah.
And that's something I would like to do. We've talked about it on the show before, but Karen said you need to be real careful about expectations.
Yeah,
do that every now and then.
We did that for a while years ago, and it just eventually we had to kill it.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up. Yep. It's also dictated by the time of your group. You know, if you're starting early, let's say you're starting a group at 6, you're expecting people to come straight from work. You probably should offer food. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of food, but it should be some food. Whereas if you're going to go later, it can be lighter, it can be chips, it can be a snack.
What time do you guys meet?
7 to 8:30.
So you are a little bit later. We're 6:30. What about you guys, Brandon?
6:30.
6:30.
Yeah. Okay. Ours was dictated by literally the people that signed up for it. So we opened it up. It was mostly young professional singles, and they didn't get off work till like 6 or 6:30. So that's why we started late.
Right, so you guys did host at number three. You've already talked about that.
Yeah, I did host. What did you have for number three?
Number three, I had Shepherd.
It's good.
Yeah, Shepherd. That's one of the things.
That's number two.
Oh, yeah. It's just crucial just to be able. But I think as a part of this, the group leader has to be open and understanding and willing to engage other people's lives, specifically the lives of group members. And this, the shepherding aspect of the leadership that a group leader has should be activated and stay that way.
Yeah, I had Shepherd at number three as well. We're lining up. And that's even language that my church uses, a lot of churches use, that you're the one who shepherds your group. The only reason I didn't rank it higher is because that is, you know, sort of technically something you can fail at and your group still survive. I wouldn't say that's my strongest deal. The two that I have ranked higher than Shepard are kind of like, your group's going to die if you don't have this covered.
That's why mine was three. Yeah. So
It's like a lot of things. You need to be cognizant of this aspect of group leadership. Even if you're not good at it, not shy away from it, and always be alert to the opportunities to shepherd.
A lot of times it's just being available, just being there for that phone call or that after the meeting kind of conversation that you're going to have. And, you know, it's got to be there. If there's not shepherding in a group, you're building a social club. You know, if you want people to be cared for, which is an important part of being a small group leader, is caring for the people in your group, you've got to shepherd. Now, that may not be your top gift, and maybe there's somebody else in the group that can kind of take that role. But to some degree, if we're going to lead a group, we need to care about the people we lead, and that's shepherding.
Yeah.
All right. So that was my number two. So, Brian, what'd you have as your number two?
I had the planned missional activities at number two.
Okay.
And we don't do this well, so I will echo what Brandon has said. But I think that, and we've talked about this before, that groups and people, disciples, generally want to be more missional than what they are, but don't have the time or find the time. It doesn't really matter what the reason is to find those on-ramps, those missional engagement opportunities. And so I think to have someone that has this as their heart, something that they enjoy doing, something they're passionate about, I think is real important. And if it's not you as the group leader doing it, find somebody that does have it. And if you keep your ear to the ground, I think God brings those people in your group. You just have to go find it sometimes. It's very important, just like Chris talked about. You talked about planning fun things. I think equally as important, probably more so, is to have these kinds of opportunities, whatever they are.
And if you're a small group staff person or point person, hear kind of what we're talking about. All three of us struggle with finding missional activities, and we kind of do this for a living. So it helps your groups if you come alongside them. Like Brandon said, your church helps you.
Yeah.
And, you know, find organizations you can partner with. Create things like Serve Saturdays. Our church does Serve Saturday two or three times a year, where there's just an opportunity for groups to go out, find an organization, partner with them. So don't just expect that your groups are going to do this, that they're going to go out, they're going to find missional opportunities, because even for us, it's difficult. So come alongside, give them easy on-ramps for missional opportunities.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, what's...
So at number two, I had teacher, and I recognize that not all groups have teachers, but if you are a group that is going to do teaching and not just facilitating, there's certainly a skill to facilitating. Mm-hmm. But if you're a teaching-based group, then the role of teaching has to rank really high, even higher than Shepherd, I think, because the group's not going to exist if that's not handled really, really well. If anybody at any time is talking 5 to 6 minutes, they need to be able to communicate well and to be able to communicate truth. So that I ranked it pretty high, because you can shut a group down real quick if you get that wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a good caveat. That did not make my top five, because most of the time I'm not recruiting a small group leader to teach.
Right.
That's a high bar. It should be a high bar. But if you have that, if it's more of a Sunday school model, you know, where they're teaching more of a lecture, you better get a good person. You better train them. So if you're going to do that, that's a very important role. But that's why I didn't have it, is because I'm not expecting most of my small group leaders to teach their groups.
Right. Wow. So you didn't have teaching as even in the top five.
Mm. Yeah. What'd you have it as?
Number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just feel like if that small group leader needs to have that component as a part of their makeup.
Do you think every small group leader needs to have
that? They're going to be looked at. I mean, whether you use a video-driven resource or not, that person's going to be looked at and expected to answer questions.
But I feel like the church can help that, too, from going back to an earlier conversation we had about systems. Like, if you're a sermon-based church, you can basically position it as the pastor. The pastor is the expert.
Yep.
And he's essentially still the expert in the room, is the language that we use at a church I was on staff at. And so it was designed to take the pressure off. But it was communicated that way church-wide. Like, you don't have to have all the answers. Just keep the conversation going. So.
Yeah, that's where I fall most of the time. That's why I'm a big believer in DVD-based small group studies, because it takes that teacher piece off of the plate for the small group leader. But I understand also what you're saying, Brian, is that they will be looked at. But I want a small group leader to feel okay saying, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to talk to one of our teachers, and I will come back with the answer next week, or we'll talk this week by phone or email. So I just want to take that expectation off of the plate.
In terms of leader development, I can understand that. But it harkens back to one of our prior episodes where we force-ranked, power-ranked the systems, and I was the only one that had free market. And when we did that, I admitted that that puts quite a burden on leadership, that free market system. So it would stand to reason that I would rate this or value this role maybe higher than some of the other ones.
Yeah, just as long as you understand you're wrong. We're good.
Oh, trust me. Okay, good. It's clear episode after episode.
All right, my number one was facilitator, because that's really what I'm asking a group leader to do, is facilitate a conversation around a well-written Bible study that has more questions than answers. And so that's really the biggest number one role for me for a small group leader, is facilitate that discussion that leads to conversations, that leads to discipleship.
Man.
I didn't include specifically facilitating even on my list, because I figured that teacher covered that for me anyway.
I get it, but I like your number one.
My number one is babysitting scheduler.
Wait a minute. This is a rules violation.
Babysitting scheduler.
He went off the page.
So this was not an option we previously discussed, and I guess I'm semi-serious in putting a number one, though, because if you don't get it right, you won't have a group. And it's a hard, hard, hard life to be the babysitting scheduler. I am not that. My wife, who has said for years she would not be a small group leader, she essentially is handling the most difficult, challenging role of a small group leader, in my opinion, in being the small group babysitting scheduler, because sometimes she has to go 10, 12 names deep before someone will show up and watch all the kids. So,
yeah, it's bad. Our group does not offer babysitting, mainly because we didn't want to mess with it, to be honest with you. And we haven't for years. It's the number one barrier, one for someone who's going to lead, because what am I going to do about childcare? And it's also the number one barrier for young families to get into a group.
Yeah.
So my group, it's huge.
All young families are soon to be young families. And if we don't have that nailed down, nobody's there.
Yeah.
And like we talked about in our show prep, this is something that really, this is supremely important, but in the end is not really important. It has to be taken care of before discipleship can happen. And if you don't take care of it, discipleship, it has a hard time happening. That's what makes it so, that just makes it so tough.
It does. Distractions and people not getting into a group. So if you don't have solutions for your leaders, if you're a point person, come up with some solutions. We always had, 8 to 10 ideas for group leaders to do for childcare. I know, Brandon, your church actually offers.
We'll pay for the childcare. Yep. Yeah, for each group one night a week.
Yep, there's a church that I worked with, consulted with for a while. They have a budget of like $35,000 a year just for childcare.
It's a lot of money, and it's even the system behind it. So that they take it completely off the group leader. Literally just scheduling can be a headache, but they take payment completely off the group leader. It's a website. You go and put in your hours. Like if you're the sitter, you go put in your hours in the. So it's literally just, can I give somebody a time to show up and a URL?
That's great. If your church's budget can handle that, that's a great way to go. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the top five group leader roles. Hopefully this was helpful as you look at what you do as a group leader, what's most important, what's something you can give away right away, what's not being covered right now in your group. But Brian, you want to talk about another podcast that's a part of the family?
Well, as you know, the Group Answers podcast show is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Network, and we're really honored and happy to be invited to be a part of the Lifeway Leadership Network. Chris, Brandon, I know you guys have listened to the One Thing podcast. This is the one this is the one co-hosted by Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna. They're a part of our Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, and they've recently talked about regional church planning, social media in your church, and succession. To find it, just look up The One Thing on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.
They're also Aussies.
Aussies.
So it's fun to listen to. All right, that'll do it for us. Do us a favor. Go to iTunes, subscribe if you haven't, and rate us. Getting a lot of ratings right now, and we'd love to get a review if you like it. If you don't, please don't review. Just kidding.
Actually, it makes us better.
Yeah, it does. It's strength. Well, you can send us an email. That might be the better way. Give us a good review. All right, and that'll do it for Group Answers this episode. We'll see you next time.